Good morning, Vietnam. This is Source from the Sofa. If you guys know that movie reference, you get like 10 extra bonus points to this week's picks.
All time Robin Williams performance.
It was really good. Fucking sad, though. Sad movie.
Very sad.
All right, so it's our last edition of the lines for the year, week 18. I did the tally somewhere, but it is really close. I had a couple good weeks. Aaron, you had a terrible week last week.
It was a bad week, Rome.
And I think we're just like one or two games apart, everybody. So it should be fun. I think Jason still has the lead. But we have games Saturday, Sunday. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Game of the week. We have a few big games of the weeks. This week, we're recording Friday morning. Is this Friday?
Yeah.
Today's Friday.
I feel like a Friday, but yeah.
Today's Friday, the 2nd. And this is the day after I got to admit, man, I was in and out of sleep throughout like most of the college football games. And they really disappointed. Having a bye week really is not good for college football teams. Let me tell you that. Now we got 2 years of data for that. So. Tough way to go out for everyone who lost yesterday. Any quick comments before we get into today?
Well, yeah, I think you mentioned it, the bye week. Indiana, in the 2 years of this, the only school to actually win when they're getting the bye week, and winning convincingly, too.
Oh, dude, they beat the shit out of Alabama.
I think there's a... You know, I took a lot of stray shots with the Notre Dame stuff when Miami was able to advance, but I think the other school that was in the mix that never was talked about was Alabama. And while they did get the good win versus Oklahoma, you know, just getting blown out thoroughly. And I know, Rome, you gave me slack last year when I talked about the SEC and the overall SEC bias for stuff, but you know, they continue to prop up that, you know, they deserve five, they deserve seven teams. And when you have a team that got blown out in their championship game, does get a win, but then gets blown out in another game. Like, the SEC dominance that they think they have does not exist. And so my schedule's so hard because they play against each other. Like, there's a narrative versus what the reality is. And I think some of these, you know, you got 2 years in a row now where SEC teams have come up short in these games against other opponents. Georgia losing to Notre Dame last year, Alabama getting boat raced by Indiana right now. So, you know, when we come down in the playoff, I think there's this default thing in the seedings of all the SEC so hard and this and that. And it is a hard conference, but these other conferences are much more closer now with the NIL and everything. We continue to say that, but it's how many years before they start scripting, you know, before this narrative starts to change a little bit.
Yeah, Big Ten, really good conference. And yeah, SEC, it's weird. You get rid of the Pac-12, and now all those Pac-12 arguments where like they start beating up each other, but they didn't get the benefit of the doubt. Alabama, after yesterday's showing, I'm like, dude, Notre Dame should have been in the playoff. Like, maybe the SEC game was the tell-all sign that they were just not going to show up for one of these big games, and they didn't again. It was really bad. Not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, touching on your guys' point, I mean, the SEC this year... it's top heavy. It's an overrated conference. I mean, the Big Ten has kind of taken the lead as far as the main power conference. They've won the last two national championships. It looks like they could be in pace for third. And yeah, Alabama did win a road game. Guess what? Against another SEC team. Wasn't against a non-conference opponent. So Alabama, again, like non-conference opponents this year have really blown them out. Indiana, start the year. Are in the year, and then really Florida State to start the year in Tallahassee. Big games for them. They've not shown up on basically neutral road sites. Indiana looked good. First team, like you guys mentioned, 1-7 now, teams off extended bye, which is basically about 25 to 30 days or more. So, I mean, Indiana looks like the most complete team in the country. Ole Miss, I thought Georgia played really well. That quarterback, Trinidad, he just made some awesome plays in the fourth quarter. If he doesn't do what he did, I think Georgia advances. But, I mean, his play was spectacular, and the semifinals should be pretty good when we got matchups with what Ole Miss, Miami, rematch Indiana, Oregon. They met middle of the season out there in Eugene. So I think these are some good matchups, good games. Agree with Jason, your guys' take. Notre Dame was a playoff team, should have been in. I had no problem with Miami getting in. The argument was, you know, Are they a top 12 team? Yes, Miami is. Is Notre Dame? Yes. Should, you know, Tulane, James Madison been in? No. And the SEC down here, I guess they'll point out that Texas beat an Michigan team that basically has half their coaching staff gone, and they'll claim that they're still better than the Big Ten. But agree, the Big Ten right now is the power conference, but they're top heavy too. So,
yeah, I would say the other disappointing probably was Texas Tech and where the Big 12 has been too. Because, I mean, the Big 12, like, ultra parity. We talked about it in the season preview that there was a number of teams that could have won. Texas Tech felt dominant within that conference, and then for them to come out and just get dominated in a bowl game like they did too, but now it speaks to, you know, the Big 12 may have had the argument for getting two teams in because BYU was right there kind of with Notre Dame, and they lose twice to Texas Tech, and then your champion gets blown out by Oregon in this playoff. And I think this is where arguments and biases start to show themselves a little bit when you have some of these things in there. So, you know, we don't want the group of five. The Big 12 is not showing worthy of showing up in either year. Those narratives probably stay, but the SEC will be the narrative we still be talking about next year.
Crazy stuff. And then the Pac-12 reemerges next year with their 8-team conference.
Yeah. What is the what's the makeup of those 8 teams?
They're all state schools. I just saw like a Front Sports article this morning. I was trying to wake up, had my alarm go off at 6, then at 6:30, then at 7. But I don't know, just a lot of state schools, plus Gonzaga. Yeah. It's Texas State, Fresno State, Utah State.
San Diego
Cal State.
Yeah.
some of the Cal States that are D1.
Yeah, I think you got San Jose State. Is Colorado State in there?
Colorado State. Yeah.
And then they got Texas State. Cool shit. We'll recap all that stuff later on. Feel bad for Lane Kiffin not being part of the playoff.
I actually think Ole Miss is better off without him.
They've done pretty well. I think they're playing with like a sense of like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. I know. I brought up the argument, which I didn't agree with. But, you know, just bringing them losing their coaching staff and stuff of whether they should get into the tournament. But I think this is, you know, Aaron mentioned, you know, Trinidad and everything like that. You know, it's a type of game changing player that you have. And I just think overall, like, you're right, Rome. I think there's a sense of like, okay, this guy didn't want us, but we're going to prove a point that we're national championship worthy, you know, within this. And it was a great team all year. That's why I'm sure the decision was not easy for Lane, as much as he pissed a lot of people off, because, hey,
you such built a good team though, man. To not let your coach finish it.
I mean, you decide to go to the rival, and we talked about that before, but that probably weighs on you, that, you know, in the long term for him, LSU is probably the smarter thing because it's going to have resources. It's one of the premier, you know, programs as far as the way college football looks, and they have the history of winning versus Ole Miss doesn't. But now, hey, you've built this over the last 5 years to this point where this is the crescendo point, and you don't get to see it through. Yeah, that does suck. But I mean, his decision. So I mean, it'd be crazy if they do run the table and, like, you know, the guy that succeeds him basically just coaches the postseason and parlay this straight into actually getting the job and what that does for the program moving forward.
Yeah, no, big win.
Well, Pete Golan didn't even want the job.
He didn't.
I mean,
he don't
even
want to
be when
a head
Lane
coach.
Kiffin was going to leave, but then he heard other names that were rumored, and he was like, "Screw
it,
I'll just take it." And it's kind of a no-win for Ole Miss because, I mean, if Lane Kiffin does say he coaches and they win, it's all Lane Kiffin. It's not really Ole Miss. Now, yeah, Ole Miss can say, like, hey, it's really the players and not the coach. Well, and we'll
he
see.
Built that.
Yeah. But, I mean, Charlie Weiss Jr., like I said, I thought I would have given him the job. He's done a great job on offense. And Pete Golden, the defense, actually, give him credit. They stepped up in that second half. That's what was a big key. I mean, Georgia had nothing going offensively. I mean, Kirby Smart trying to run fake punt after fake punt to try to get back in that game, get the momentum back on their side. It's going to be interesting, I mean, how they match up with Miami. Miami's, you know, D-line has dominated both of the O-lines, but now, you know, Trinidad, he's a scrambler. He can make great plays. It should be a great matchup.
Miami's looking really, really good.
They look great. They were good at the beginning of the season preview. Like, that's why I picked them to win the ACC, and, you know, talked about that in that preview game where they can be competitive. Is like, they have in the past, it would have been, do you have the SEC caliber athletes in the trenches? That's what you would have said pre-NIL, and they do now. Like, they got guys that are probably going to play on Sundays. It's big athletic people, but Aaron brings up the point of, like, yeah, the athleticism of Chambliss. You have a game changer in here, and can you keep them involved? But, you know, my Miami's got athletes. It's you know, we got into a bad discussion because they should have dominated the ACC. Like, plain and simple,
it shouldn't have been
the argument.
It looked like they cleaned up some of the play calling, especially on the defensive side. Some of the miscues from the later half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the other thing, just, you know, offensively and where game management and stuff comes into with Mario Cristobal, as we like talk through. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, they were up big and we're thinking, or you know, up two scores to start the game, and then all of a sudden that game starts coming back to them a little bit, and you're worried about like, hey, what you're gonna do? But they're able to pull it out. Like, it's a legit team that can win the national title. And I think just the narrative around them became too much because you lose these games in the middle of the season, which, you know, weren't great losses, but it wasn't like they lost to like the bottom feeders of the ACC at the time.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, you should have been a step above the rest of this conference and dominate, you know, the way we saw, you know, Indiana and Ohio State really kind of run through the Big Ten throughout the year. Like, I think that's what you expect with Miami in a conference that's, you know, a tier below the Big Ten and SEC.
Yeah, Miami's an interesting team because they've relied on their defense, Rome. I mean, their defense has just been dominating games. Early in the year, Carson Beck was lighting it up. You know, I think he was like 15 touchdowns probably in the first five games. I mean, big games. Notre Dame had a big game. And then he had the four interception game that Friday night against Louisville. They got upset off a bye. Then he had another bad game against SMU. To what Jason said, Miami's been vanilla on offense. Basically, it's been, hey, let's not have Carson Beck do anything stupid. Our defense is dominating. Let's keep the run game going. And when Beck's needed to, he made some big plays late in that game with his feet and a couple throws. It'd be interesting because I think they're going to have to score a lot of points against Ole Miss. You know, despite how good that defense is, Ole Miss is, even against an SEC defense all year, has scored 30-plus points, whether it's against Georgia, Texas, whoever they play, they can score points. So I think it's going to be an interesting game, high-scoring game, but Miami's going to have to open things up offensively. But, yeah, I mean, to what Jason said, they are built like an SEC kind of Big Ten team in the trenches. They rely on their defense. Mario Cristobal's old school. If you every interview he does is all trenches, trenches, trenches. That's what he wants to win. But eventually, you know, your key star players, quarterback, wide receiver, are going to have to step up and make a big play. Miami does have guys that can do that, so we'll see what happens.
Nice. Let's transition to NFL Lines of the Week. Today's coffee brought to you by Highwire. I want to plug him in. Maybe see if we can get him as a sponsor. Really delicious. Based in the East Bay. Strong as fuck. No. That's it. All right. This list, dude. Like, whoever puts this fucking thing together for Circa.
Hey, Rome, they must have been hanging out with you on New Year's Eve.
I'm going to fucking find them. And I'm going to show them how to use a goddamn Excel sheet.
Well, Rome, really next time when we're at Circa, you know, contest weekend, you can ask around and find out who that guy is or gal. And
just fucking hire me. I'll do it.
Get on it.
I'll do it. This is bad. This is really bad.
I didn't notice how bad it was till Jason's text. I'm like, oh, wow, this is really bad.
I just glanced at it because I was like half asleep. I was like, oh, I'll look at it later. And then just right now, I'm writing down the lines. I'm like, dude, like,
I looked at it. It's the first thing I noticed. I didn't even look at any of the lines. I just looked at the times. I'm like, why are these times like, and why 1:25 is around the left hand side? Yeah, 10 a.m.
Well, the
last game's
at 10 a.m. And then that's when I'm like, whoa, well, this is really bad.
Well, my previous like theory defending the great folks at Circa was like, hey, they make these at the beginning of the year. It's just like, you know, they just have the whole thing mapped out, and then they'll just make the adjustment of where things are at based on time and switches and flexing because of TV and stuff. And so that's just my assumption going in, because that's what it looked like last time, because, you know, you got your flex game. Now, I don't know if the Titans-Jags is the original Sunday night football slate or something like that on this. I mean, that'd be my only question. I don't think that would have been the NFL's thoughts going into the year. But, this one is a little bit all over the place. I wanted to defend, you know, the great folks at Circus Sports. But, I don't know. I thought of Rome right away. It would have been no other topic of just, like, he's going to be
mad
about
this. Well,
like
I mentioned, I think last week, according to my sources at Circa, they've kind of been throwing this scramble schedule out just to piss Rome off, because they know it gets under Rome's skin. So the last one of the year for the new year, as we might say, they really put this one in shambles.
It is bad. All right. So starting off Saturday, final NFL lines of the year. We got Panthers, Bucks rated by 2.5 for the division and for the number 4 seed. Winner goes home. Wait, there's still a scenario where the Panthers still get in, right?
There is. If
even
the
if they lose?
If the Falcons win, the Panthers are in regardless.
So the Falcons win, Panthers are in, but the best team in that conference right now is the Saints. Is that correct?
That sounds
hottest
about right.
Team. The hottest team right now, okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. The Falcons have looked pretty good, too, here recently. So
they look like thought they might look like.
And by good, I mean they won a game last week against a really good team.
And your guy, Pitts, has had at least one good game.
Yes.
All right. Aaron, you kick it off for us. Since if you've gone against Aaron the last 2 weeks for college football and NFL, you'd be a rich man.
You'd be doing pretty well, after weeks 10 through 15 in the NFL, winning weeks all those weeks. So hopefully week 18, I can close out on a strong note. Feel pretty good about it.
Nice.
Look, Carolina, the line's weird, 2.5. I think it was 3 earlier. Tampa, Tampa's been a complete mess. We've talked about how they got guys back, but they just really haven't performed. I think Baker and guys are going to show up for at least one more time. I don't think it's going to matter because I do believe Atlanta's going to win this week. We'll get into that game, but I'm going to go Tampa here -2.5. Bucky Irving, I think he's due for a big game. The passing game for Tampa has been bad, but Carolina, when you think they're done, they show up and win. But I'm going to go one last time. Todd Bowles, new year, Baker. They're not going to go out with at least a loss. I would bet if you're betting the Bucks money line, but for the contest here, I will go 2.5 Tampa Bay.
You can just copy and paste what you've been saying for like the last 3 weeks because the Bucks have not shown up yet.
I know. So I'm.
Although Godwin did have a good game.
I put it this way, Rome. I was really, really leaning Carolina. And then I was like, you know what? I've been playing bad. Let me just fade myself on this one. And I think Tampa is going to show out. So I'll go with the Bucks.
Jason.
Yeah. As much as my midseason prediction of being the Panthers competitive for the playoffs, and I should be choosing them. I mean, it's really going to come down, I guess, to the last drive for Bryce Young or wherever it's at, because that's where these games are decided, him bringing him back. I think, Rome, you talked about how many fourth quarter comebacks he's had in the last 2 years. But the feeling for me is just like with Aaron for this Bucks team. They got the talent. They've gotten a bunch of these guys back. The offense isn't what it was in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the year, but like this is a must win game for them. The Panthers, it isn't as must win, and I just think the Bucks should have won this division easily, and this is the last time for them to show up. I would still take the 2.5. I know Aaron said lead money line, but I think regardless, I don't think it's going to come down to a one score, 1 point game. I think at least a field goal the Buccaneers could win this by.
I'll just roll with you guys. I'm not feeling good about the Bucs though. This team looks banged up. Mayfield has looked like shit ever since he was in the MVP conversation. So good luck. Seahawks 49ers. Tough. Oh, wait a minute.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
one. That is tomorrow night. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, this thing's throwing me off. That's tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yep.
Tickets are expensive.
Arguably game of the week.
Game of the week. This is for the number one seed.
Yep.
For the NFC West.
NFC.
For a bye week. Just for everything.
Yep.
Everything on the line.
That's kind of cool. That's really cool.
That's why tickets are standing room only, what, $800 room?
Yeah, I think so. First round of the playoffs are selling for that much. Ridiculous. All right, Jason, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, coming off, one of the games of the year with the Bears last week, the Niners look great. Purdy looked great. This is a team that's risen to some occasions this year in some tough games. You think about that, Rams game earlier in the season, the shootout with the Bears last week. And this team's had tons of injuries, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But the offense is really clicking. Purdy's got, no matter kind of who's in, he's able to, find receivers, even if you haven't heard of the receivers that they would have in years past with no Ayuk, no Debo. But Christian McCaffrey's also having a massive, bounce back year. Does he have 1,000 receiving and 1,000 rushing or something at this point?
Very close. Yeah. I think he's trying to become the first player to do it 2 times at that position of running back.
So just crazy, chemistry between Purdy and him and what he can do offensively. The Seahawks is a good team, but there's questions for me with Darnold in these big games still. And when it comes down to this, until he can prove me otherwise on it, I'm going to take the Niners on this. +1.5. You're going to give me some points too.
He did it last week. You don't think he'll do it again?
Nope. Darnold.
Well, he had a big game a couple weeks ago.
I mean, the defense, I think, won that game for them last week. What, 27-10 running game? Yeah, I mean, Seattle, we talk about them. This is the best team. I would say actually the best team on the road, but the Patriots just finished 8-0. But, I mean, the Seahawks schedule-wise, they play some real gauntlet of teams. Their only loss coming up against the Rams. This is a rematch of week one in which Brock Purdy throws a late TD to win it. Going back to Jason's point, you know, Sam Darnold, we saw him in the same spot last year, winner take all against the Lions, probably his worst game of the year, probably easily cost himself $50 to $75 million on a long, long-term, big deal contract.
100%.
Rome, your guy Brock Purdy's playing the best football I've seen him play this last month. I mean, that toe injury, you know, say what you want, maybe it's slowing him down early in the year, but he's been balling out. 49ers, Kittle, Ricky Purcell, all those guys are questionable, likely to play. Even Trent Williams, the star left tackle, Hall of Famer, questionable to play. 49ers has been finding ways all year to win. I love the Seattle defense, but I'm going to go with Purdy over Darnold here. I know this has kind of been a revenge tour for Darnold. He beat Minnesota this year, just beat Carolina, lost the first rematch against the Niners. But I believe in Kyle Shanahan. I believe in CMC. I like the Niners to win outright, get the first round bye. So I'll take the 1.5 of the Niners.
I forgot that Darnold was there for a year, but I really think that really helped him out. I think that was like the fulcrum point in his career. I got 49ers. Even if it's a close game, I'll take the 1.5. All right, on to Sunday. And this is where we're going to zigzag a little bit here. We're going to start off with Pack visiting the Minnesota Vikings. 8.5 point favorites for the Vikings. Kind of surprised from this. Love is out, correct? He's clear to return, but he's going to rest for the playoffs. Vikings, who's playing quarterback this week?
JJ.
JJ's back. He's had a pretty decent year. When he's, well, he's played like, what, 6 games?
Maybe. It's hard to say how many games he's played.
He's had like 3 epic quarters. Hall of Fame quarters.
Hall of Fame quarters, okay.
Yeah, and then now his face is infamous on memes for everybody this year for not showing up in big games. 8.5 over your team, Aaron. Who you got?
Yeah, Murrum, you mentioned Love's not playing. Willis isn't playing. You got Clayton Tune making the start at quarterback. Packers got a lot of guys out. Injuries, just guys that are banged up. They want to get rested up here. They're locked in as the number 7 seed. Minnesota has been playing hard.
Yeah.
JJ there. I think with this defense, Brian Flores, last year of his contract, is he going to be back in Minnesota? Is he going to get a head coaching gig? Is he going to go somewhere else? I think Minnesota shows up. Green Bay's got nothing to play for. Their wide receiver room is banged up. Running backs, everybody. I like Minnesota here -8.5. This is a game they should win by at least double digits, given what the Packers got on the field.
Jay.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. Like, just absolutely nothing to play for the Packers. They're just about getting healthy for that first round matchup, you know, potentially against the Bears and the Vikings. Yeah, there's a lot to prove. Aaron mentioned Flores. I think there's some other guys on this roster trying to, you know, get something going for the next season. You know, as kind of bad as their season was prior, like there's some games Minnesota has generally showed up with, and they've looked good about almost like the team of old. I think just some consistency on out of the quarterback play has probably been just, you know, the biggest difference year over year. But I think this is a game definitely the Vikings should win handily.
It sucks, yeah, because the Vikings took a gamble, man. They're a loaded team to go with JJ. JJ is still pretty raw, has a long way to go, but we'll see. I think we're still like a year or two out, but 8.5 is just a lot of points, though, even against a depleted Packers team. I'll roll with you guys, though. Colts, Texans, another big spread. Texans favored by 10.5. Colts, who they got starting this week?
Rivers starting, right?
No. Leonard's starting.
Yeah, your Notre Dame guy getting a look. Since now they're officially out of the playoffs from last week's loss. Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, Colts are done. Riley Leonard making his first start. We've only seen him, in 2 quarters of action in that game when Daniels got hurt. He came in and played against Jacksonville. Houston's still got an outside shot at the division. If they win, Jacksonville loses, they can jump in. Regardless, if they win, they lock up the 5 seed, which means they'd be either going to Baltimore or Pittsburgh. A loss here could, you know, derail that to where they're actually going to New England or, you know, Jacksonville. Hard to say rookie quarterback against that number one defense. Rome, you've been alluding to him for the last 2 months, Super Bowl defense. I think they show up. I think they show out. First-time quarterback against that unit. I just don't like the Colts here. They got no run game. Riley Leonard might play well, but tough matchup here. I'll take the Texans at home, laying the 10.5.
Wow. Jason.
Yeah, it's a big spread. We always haven't been successful looking at these big spreads ones. And when you look into end of the year, who's playing, who's not, regardless who's quarterback for me, I just haven't felt, you know, the Colts offense and where it can be. Aaron mentioned the running game and where, you know, that was at the beginning of the year when the Colts were on their run versus what it is now. That's probably been the biggest difference. I think that's what made, you know, Daniel Jones so successful. He opened a lot of things up downfield. You know, rookie quarterback, Rome, you said Texans, Super Bowl caliber defense. How are they going to score points in this game? Texans got something to play for. They need to, you know, kind of amp up for the playoffs. It's a big spread, but I'll agree with Aaron and take the Texans.
Oh, man. Yeah, 10.5. I'm trying to go back to Texans have been winning, but they don't really have many wins to even cover that type of spread. Biggest win in the past month and a half is against the Jags. They won by 7. Good team. Trying to find a comp here.
They just beat Arizona 3 weeks ago by 20, Rome.
Really?
Because I was on
schedule out of order?
I was on Arizona plus 9.5 in that game. It was a 40 to it was on 40-20.
So it sticks out. All right. Unanimous here. Not digging it. I'm just also feeling really lazy in my picks. Browns, Bengals. Is that correct? Next, yeah. 10 a.m. All right. Browns, Bengals. Another big spread. Bengals favored by 7.5. Shedeur Sanders and the Browns costing my fucking Steelers. I hope that organization rots in hell. Jason.
What a preamble to this game.
Fucking yeah. Don't like them. I fucking hate the Browns. I don't want to see their fucking logo, their name.
I just want to confirm, Aaron, but Burrow's playing, right?
Yes. Yeah, Burrow is playing.
All right. Then I just don't see how the Browns keep up with the Bengals offense at this point. I mean, the only thing I think we're looking for in this game is going to be, can Myles Garrett, you know, get the sack on Burrow probably. There's no reason why I'm not trusting the Bengals, who, you know, have gotten the offense going, you know, since Burrow's been there. I guess you're questioning Bengals all the time on their defense, but what can the Browns do offensively right now? I mean, I think back to the past couple of games where they were at, like, you know, you look at that Bears game, they couldn't get anything going offensively, and the Bears don't got a great defense either. So I'll take the Bengals.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow, this Bengals offense, since he's come back, they've looked really good. I think Zach Taylor, like I've talked about, still coaching for his job. When they win this game, I think that's their, what, 8th win of the year? 7th? So it's a big game. The Browns won last week, but they're depleted. I don't even know who's showing up roster-wise for them. And Jason touched on it. Bengals defensively not great, but the last month they've not been bad. I think players, coaching staff are all playing back. I think Zach Taylor wins this game. I think he's back next year as coach because they're going to be 5-2 with Joe Burrow under center of a win this weekend. I agree. I don't think the Browns just can keep pace, score points. I'll take the over too. I like the over as well, but I say the Bengals win this one probably 31-17.
I do like the over on this one. I think that's like a that's a good lock. Bengals actually have been covering the spread with Joe Burrow in all these games, so I'll lock in with you guys on that one. Does Shedeur come back next year? Does Stefanski come back next year?
Stefanski's the weird one, man, because it's just like there's been things about does he want to even be there, but they don't want to let him go. But obviously he, you know, wants to be a head coach in this league. He's seen as a good coach. I've never seen a guy with such a good reputation for a team that just hasn't been. I mean, how long has he been there, Aaron? 5 years?
It feels like 5 years.
4 or 5.
Well, maybe more because he
took over midway with the Baker Mayfield.
His first year was COVID year, right? And they got to the playoffs. They beat the Steelers. They beat Rome Steelers. Was that his first year or second year?
That was disgusting.
So
that was his first year.
Yeah, it's been at least 5, 6 seasons.
Steelers are favorites. Yeah, they ruined a.
Yeah, you're right. Don, 2020, he signed a 5-year contract. So,
did he ever sign an extension? Do we know? Or is this like his contract runs
out? No, he did sign an extension in 24.
Okay.
So I think Stefanski's back. I think the weird thing is division. Rome, you touched on like everyone getting fired. I think the safest coaches in the division are the two last place teams. Are Stefanski and Zach Taylor.
Is this matchup? I agree.
The Browns or the Bengals don't fire coaches. Like they wouldn't get like Marvin Lewis was called for fired for I don't know how long. Like and so they don't want to pay nothing. They're notoriously one of the cheapest organizations out there.
Yeah, they got fined for not cleaning the chairs. They had snow on it. You're supposed to clean the chairs for people to come to the game, and they didn't do that.
Buffalo gets the whole city of Buffalo. Every fan comes out and does it over there too.
They pay cheap. Yeah, those guys just love that team, dude. They could get people.
That's all they have.
Free
out
beer.
There, Buffalo. I mean, in Cincinnati or Cleveland, they got other stuff. But yeah.
Go ahead. Isn't it weird how Garrett has not had the record yet? Because he was like on target to hit it in like week 12, and still like not a lot happened since then.
Well, Rome, obviously the Steelers were more worried about him last week and just kept throwing the ball away quick. I think he got a half a sack the game previously against Josh Allen. Not an easy quarterback to sack. He's going to get it against Joe Burrow. I mean, I go back to week one. I think he sacked him at least 1.5 times, if not more. So he'll get the record here.
I really want the like BS bootleg sack like Favre Strahan and this too. Just Burrow go out doing a bootleg and just lays down for Myles Garrett. Yeah, I just want that controversy, you know?
Yeah, he did do that. Oh, I forgot about that. There's like a cool ESPN doc about that. Cowboys, Giants. We got two more morning games. Let's speed through this one. Cowboys favored by 3.5 on the road. 51 over under. Pretty high. Jason.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, you know, they've had these kind of moments throughout the year. I mean, offensively, you know, they can find it. It's really just on the defense when you don't have, you know, a top five pass rusher and you're deleting they release a cornerback in week 18. You know, we couldn't keep Diggs an additional week. I had to get rid of him now for this defense. Seems like an interesting choice out there. But I still like the Cowboys offense. I still like what Dak's doing out there. You know, your guy, you know, George Pickens and where he's been able to step up. I know they haven't always been him and CD in the same games producing, but the Giants, Rome, you're always higher than the Giants than me. And I don't know what to say for them at this point, but you know, I did see Russell Wilson on the New Year's Eve celebrations with Sierra. So apparently I don't know. He had no practice time or prep. He just stays up till midnight and in Times Square out there in New York.
I don't know, man. I did see the beef though with like Future. Was that is that the guy?
There's more beef with Future? Yeah. There's more beef with that guy? Yeah, I thought that was old. There's more? There's new?
He had a bad quote this past week saying that he thinks Russell Wilson's soft because he's raising another man's kids. But like it was just like, dude, you're not even raising your own kid. Like that was not a good quote. It was not good.
Yeah, that's a terrible quote.
If you're raising your own kids, okay. But if you're not,
to call another guy soft for raising your kids, like that's pretty.
I'd pretty much say that's the opposite of things. It's him stepping up to raise. So a lot of criticism for Russell Wilson, but that would not be one. But
look, if Russell Wilson's down, and you might as well take your shots at him now because hey, everyone for the most part, people are going to agree with the shots that he takes. I'll disagree with that one. Giants got nothing to play for. They're locked in right now as the number two pick in the draft. Winning does not help them out. Cowboys, a lot to play for. The chance to get that 500, 8-8-1, literally 500.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going with the Cowboys here. They still offensively could do a lot of things. Plus, the Giants got players out. Illness is going through there. Like, it seems like about a quarter of their team's out, not practicing with the flu. Giants, nothing to play for. They got, you know, they beat the Raiders who wanted to lock in the number one draft pick. So I like the Cowboys here. 3.5.
Cool. I'm going with the same. Saints, Falcons. Falcons favored by 3.5, over under 44. Aaron, who you got?
Saints, Rome, you guys mentioned have been the hottest team in that division, but Chris Olave's out, blood clot in the lung. He's the number one target.
That's crazy.
Atlanta. Coaching staff's playing for their job, too. Raheem Morris, whether or not you think he's safe or not, kind of quiet name to keep an eye on. He loses this game, he could be out. A lot of talent. They showed up against the Rams. I believe they show up again here. I'll take the Falcons -3.5, but I think it's going to be a big public play. Might be a good fade play here, but I'll ride with them. The Chris Olave injury being out worries me. I think the Saints kind of run out of luck here.
Jason.
Yep, agree with Aaron. The Falcons win these games once they're out of contention all the time. Very impressive last week. I think the offense, you know, they're getting the ball in Bijan quite a bit, and he's, you know, really showing out to be the playmaker he can be. They get Pitts involved, when they can. Darnell Mooney has been, you know, making some plays here recently too. But yeah, the Saints, you know, way better than probably we expected them at the beginning of the year, when it feel like, hey, we just fade the Saints every week and that's going to be the play. Now, I'm not as confident, you know, right now saying that as I would have been, you know, in weeks 1 through 8, because, you know, this team, they're building something there for all they've gone through. They are building something there. So, you know, I think that's good to see for Saints fans. But with Atlanta something to play for, specifically as Aaron mentioned, Raheem Morris with his job, I'll take Atlanta as well.
Yeah. For all the reasons you guys mentioned, Falcons to make that playoff situation more difficult. Last morning game, I believe, Titans Jags favored by 13. Jason.
Yeah, just a big spread for the Titans. How are they going to score points? But then in some of these games, they have scored some points.
They've been scoring points lately.
And the Jags, you know, they play tight. They play some tight games. I mean, you think of last week against the Colts in a game that, you know, you're playing against Phillip Rivers as good as he was. But, you know, you play them to less than a one possession game. There really isn't like the blowouts the last couple weeks, but then they did play the Jets and blew the heck out of them, you know, and then the Colts in the first time around. The previous meeting with the Titans, they beat them 25-3. This one is in Jacksonville. The division's still on the line. I think there is, you know, something big to play for the Jags. This is, you know, looking like a threat, you know, in the AFC. The AFC's pretty wide open because people aren't believing in some of the top seeds, you know, like Denver, whether, you know, or that's going to translate in the playoffs and stuff. The Jags, I think, Aaron, like, they're like the fifth or sixth betting favorite in Vegas to win the Super Bowl right now. Like, yeah, what? I looked the other day, like, they have better odds than the Bears and some of these other teams out of the NFC. So there's something here. And Trevor Lawrence, I mean, for the fantasy watchers out down the stretch, like, he was the fantasy play, and where he's stepping up towards the end of the season. So, you know, it's a big spread, and I don't love it, but I do think the Jags are a good team. Like what Liam Cohen's building, I'll take the Jags minus 13.
Aaron.
Yeah, extremely high number. I mean, the Titans had been playing really well, kind of collapsed second half when the Saints came back and beat them last week. That was one of the dogs I was on that just didn't come through. Jacksonville still has an outside shot to get to the 2 seed. Plus, they got to win this game to win the division. We'll see what happens with the Broncos since they have a tiebreaker if they end up with the same record there. Tennessee, they do turn the ball over a lot. Jacksonville has a great defense. Trevor Lawrence, as you guys just touched on, has been playing his best football over the last month as well. It's a high number. Likely the Titans probably backdoor this one, and it ends 31-20, but I'll go with the Jags here, minus 13. They got to get the win, clinch the division, which would likely set up a matchup with possibly Buffalo. So that would be interesting. So I'm going Jags minus 13, but I this wouldn't be one of my top plays at all.
Yeah, it looks like Jags have some pretty big margin of victories here for the season. Not so much earlier in the year, but as they've been heating up the offense, they've been blowing teams out with similar competition. Titans, though, starting to turn the corner, the later half. I'm really excited to see how everything plays out for them, who they hire. But yeah, you're probably right, Aaron, probably backdoor cover, but I'll just roll with the 13 here. Afternoon games. We're going to backtrack here. Is that Dolphins? Dolphins, Patriots, 125. A lot of 125 games this week.
I mean, that's what we'll be deciding, like, playoff seeding and everything here towards the end of the thing. So I think this is where, this is the best 125 red zone action we're going to get since September, probably, because you'll have a lot that we're looking
Six
to
games.
Play for. Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. Dolphins, Pats favored by 10.5. Aaron.
Yeah, Patriots still have an outside shot at the 1 seed. Obviously, they clinched the division last week. Dolphins, really nothing to play for. This is Quinn Ewers' third start. First on the road. Waddle's kind of banged up. Achane's banged up. Both guys may or may not play. I think the Patriots show up and ball out. I'll take them minus 10.5 here at home.
Wow. Jason.
Yeah, last week the Patriots almost looked like they were trying to get Drake May the MVP and what he was doing to the Jets. And Aaron mentioned the key to me, not only Quinn Ewers, but the Achan injury. I mean, this would probably be something to watch going in. You know, if Achan's not playing, I don't have a ton of confidence that they'd be able to keep it close. They do have some, you know, pretty solid backups, but he is the playmaker that kind of makes that offense go right now. And the Patriots kind of just show like, Vrabel, I'm playing my guys, I'm gonna run it up. And I think, you know, you're looking for Drake May to have a big performance. It's him, probably him versus Stafford for the MVP right now. I know people don't say they watch that, but I mean, I think people maybe try to prove a point in New England that they got the guy, and if, you know, they get a quarterback that wins the MVP, it could be a good storyline for them. So I'll take the Patriots minus 10 as well, 10 and a half.
If Achan's not playing, it's going to be really reliant on their tight ends. Miami still has some pretty decent ones there.
I think Waller's out as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How about the other guy that used to be married to Kelsey Plum?
Yeah, that is Waller. Darren Waller.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I believe he's out. He's not been practicing. A lot of these guys have not been practicing.
I was so disappointed when I found out she was married to him. I was like, God damn it, there goes my chance.
She's not now. I don't know what you're wallowing about.
Yeah, she's in L.A.
Who's she playing for? She's in L.A.?
She's in Sports, L.A., man. Right? Yep.
I'm about to get some tickets. I'm about to get some tickets, get a sign going, take my daughter, marry my daddy. My daughter doesn't want me to get married anymore. She just wants to keep me to herself. So tough loss. All right. You know, if Achan plays, I think Dolphins have a chance. But if not, if everyone else is out, then Pats easy. Chiefs, Raiders. Chiefs here by 5.5 on the road in Vegas. Very low, 37. Aaron.
Yeah, we mentioned last week the Raiders basically putting all their main guys on IR, deactivated everybody to try to get up that, secure that number one spot in the draft.
They almost got it last week.
Kenny Pickett makes a start here. I like the Chiefs to win. I like the Raiders to cover. I'll take the Raiders plus 5.5. Feels like a field goal game. The Chiefs offensively can't really do anything anyways with the third string quarterback. I think they had less than 100 total yards against the Broncos. This will be one of those ugly games that ends like 16-13, but I'll take 5.5 of the Raiders.
Real quick, man, with all the stuff coming about Kelly, how much like the decline of Geno, was it on actually being on Geno, or was it just Kelly just fucking him over in the whole offense with his being there but not being there? With the play calling, going over schemes, all that stuff.
I think it was probably a mix. I you start to question Kelly's like overall success in the pros versus kind of what he did in college. I mean, we talked about that. Like, is he still living off the Oregon tenure? I mean, that's just good coach, but I mean, for was he highest paid assistant this year?
I think he's lazy.
I don't know if I go that far. I would say, Ron, there's probably a middle ground between it. I don't know if Geno just has the supporting cast like he did in Seattle to make him as successful as he was in these years where he got the starting job in Seattle, you know, because just really wasn't much in the offensive line. It wasn't great for Oakland. They couldn't run the ball with Genty all year. The wide receivers, you know, were average at best. Bowers was out a ton of the year. So I think there wasn't the support for Geno. And I think that's the type of quarterback where, hey, Geno's a veteran, knows what to do. And then like the interceptions, they weren't great. A lot of them were bad, but I think it's a guy just trying to force something and try to make a play and make it happen versus he probably was more when you're throwing to Metcalf and, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba and you had somebody like reliable, like Lockett, like that's just a different like feel versus, hey, I don't got really any guys. And maybe if my offensive coordinator is trying to do a thing that doesn't work for me, it's probably a mix. I don't know if I go as straight in the lazy call like you, but it definitely wasn't worth the money that they were putting in there because I don't think the offensive innovation that I think he's heralded for, you know, what was something you could do with what the Raiders personnel had.
Who you got in this game, Jason? Oh, sorry, Aaron.
Just touching on, I mean, Chip Kelly, I agree with what you guys said. I mean, I don't think he's lazy. I mean, he just got another job in college going back, which they just hired your Neuheisel Jr. He's going to Northwestern too. So, and I mean, look, he just won a national title as the OC for Ohio State. We saw what Ohio State's offense looked like down the stretch here at the end of the season. So he's a sought after coach. I think he's more of a college guy than an NFL guy. Was he worth the $6 million? No. I mean, going back to the Raiders, offensive line is probably one of the worst in the league. Brock Bowers, like Jason said, hurt his knee week one, was never the same player, missed like 5-6 games. They don't have any wide receiver that would probably be number three wide receiver on any of the top teams right now in the AFC or NFC. So they don't have anybody. They don't have any weapons. Right. I think Chip Kelly's going to do fine at Northwestern. He'll do good in college, but I never liked him going back to the pros. But you're not going to turn down a $6 million contract to go coach in the NFL and maybe, you know, parlay that. He doesn't want to be a head coach again, so now he goes back to and he was making $3 million at Ohio State. So it's not like this guy's doesn't have money. Made a successful career, took Oregon to heights that they hadn't been before, and now Dan Lanning's taken to another level. But yeah,
all right, Jason, who you got?
I agreed with Aaron about taking the Raiders plus 5.5. I mean, I think the under thing is the most tempting for me in this game. Like offensively, what can either of these teams do with the offenses they're kind of putting out? But I do think it's too much. 5.5 is too much for a Chiefs offense that I just don't know how they get going with. Are they on the third or fourth string quarterback and some of the personnel
they got? Who's
playing
for the Chiefs this week?
Whoever that guy, the third string guy that played last week.
He's okay.
I think he only had like 80 yards passing room.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But yeah.
Unanimous. Raiders plus 5.5. Next game, Lions-Bears. Lions must win just for a little pride factor. End the year. I don't know. It's just a disappointing year anyways. Bears still something on the line here? -3?
The two seed is on the line. They'll be going basically head-to-head with the Eagles.
Nice. All right, Jason, who you got?
Yeah, I disagree that there's something to play for the Lions. I mean, this season, you know, has just been kind of a wash at this point. For the Bears, there is something to play for, and I think there's also a level of embarrassment that this team has from week two where they got completely blown out in Detroit. There's some pride and real playoff implications for the Bears. They showed out on the offense last week, you know, against, you know, a suspect Niners D with a lot of guys out, but still, you know, a really impressive team overall. And I think you saw, you know, offensive flashes out of a lot of different guys. The Bears are getting rookies involved with Loveland and Luther Burden. You know, they need the run game to work with Swift, and that was also big plays against the Niners there too. I just think there's something with the Bears that Ben Johnson versus Dan Campbell. There's the mutual respect and admiration of these guys and what they did for each other in Detroit. But there's definitely probably a level of pride that Ben Johnson wants this one, send this regular season out on a high, go into the playoffs and secure the two seed.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth from this game. Rome, I mean, the Lions don't have anything to play for outside of pride themselves. They were embarrassed on Christmas Day, probably one of the worst games Goff and that team has had in the last 4 or 5 years since Dan Campbell's been there. The Bears need a win to secure the two seed. That's really important. They don't want to drop the three, which means they could be going to Philadelphia in the divisional round if that's the case. Yeah, I'm going to go with Jason on this one. I like the Bears to bounce back. I think Ben Johnson is going to want to stick it to Dan Campbell and the Lions after the embarrassment that they suffered in week two that you mentioned. And the defense, too, for the Bears. Brock Purdy lit them up. They get a vulnerable Goff coming in who's licking his wounds. I think the Bears jump on it. I like the Bears -3 at home.
Small correction for Aaron. They would not play the Eagles. The Bears are secured in a home game. So if they win, they play the Packers. But if they lose...
Yeah, I'm saying if they win and they... Round two, divisional round, would be against Philadelphia.
Yes, correct.
They do not want to go to Philadelphia.
That's why I think
they want to win this game.
Understood.
Yeah. I still think, you know, the Lions haven't had too many back-to-back really bad games. They respond pretty well. Still lots of weapons. I still think they still have a lot to play for. I disagree with that. I'll take them with the points and fade you guys. Next one, Jets-Bills. Yeah, Jets-Bills. Bills favored by 7 at home, 37.5. Is it snowing over there?
I think as of yesterday, they were paying people to remove snow from the stadium.
Oh, really?
So I believe it is.
Nice. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big game for Buffalo, right? I mean, they are locked into the playoffs, but what seeding are they going to get? I mean, if they lose this game, They stay seven. They travel to New England. If they win, it seems like the Chargers are pulling their starters. They would, if they could win, that would mean they're going to Jacksonville or Houston. Last game at the stadium, Highmark Stadium here, before they close that down, go across the street to the new one. I don't think Buffalo wants to go out with two losses in a row there. Josh Allen sounds like he's going to play. Sounds like he's okay. Brady Cook for the Jets has been terrible. The Jets have given up. Right now they're locked in as a three in the draft. They're not going to try to win this game. Buffalo goes out on a Highmark win. I'll take the Bills minus seven here.
Jason.
Yep, going to agree with Aaron as well, too, on this. You saw the Jets versus the Patriots last week. I don't know what's left in this team right now. While the Bills haven't blown people out in some of these big spreads games all the time. The last regular season home game at this stadium. I think getting ready for the playoffs, you know, wherever Buffalo's at right now, like there is a window. There's a window for Josh Allen right now. When you think about his contemporaries and the criticism of him, it was him and Lamar Jackson not getting past Patrick Mahomes. Well, Mahomes is out, and now, you know, neither Lamar nor Josh are getting the first round bye, and so there's a playoff here. Now, there's a lot of flaws in this Buffalo team. You know, Aaron's been calling those out. Rome, you've been calling those out all year. The defense, where it's at. Wide receivers, you know, it's pretty much a two-man show with Josh and Cook in the backfield and what they can do. But there is still some magic about this team when it comes down to the stretch. But I do think there's something to play for in this game for them, and I'll take the Buffalo as well.
Yeah, cool thing about the new stadium, you'd have thought that they would have got a dome, and they didn't. they still want the weather element. I love it. It's just there's more luxury boxes and –
I love it's it really too, cool. Man. I argue with my friends all the time because they're like, no one wants to see that. Everyone wants to see like the skill on display and this and that. I'm like, no, like there's
not like it.
There are implications when you come down to, you know, the playoffs specifically of like having to go to Buffalo, having to play in Baltimore, having to play in Kansas City. Although is Kansas City getting the dome with their $3 billion yes, gift from the state of Kansas? So that'll be a little bit different for them. But I think, you know,
a terrible fucking deal that is
for the state. Great deal for the Chiefs.
Oh my God, dude. Robbery. This is why you need like oversight on shit like that. It's a dumb. It's Brett Favre is being taken to court for stealing for the welfare of like whatever he did, which is pretty bad. I still haven't really dug into that. This is even worse.
This is even worse. I mean, I don't want to bring the Bears into every conversation, but this is exactly what the Bears are trying to get out of the state of Indiana right now.
They are.
This is exactly what they want.
Some shady shit Midwest.
Yeah.
Shit in the Midwest.
Yeah, the elements of it to me, that's what you love about it. Like if every game is played like at SoFi, I just don't think it's not as entertaining.
SoFi has no personality. I don't know. It's nice though. All right, so I unanimous there on the Bills, trying to see what the next fucking game is. Commanders Eagles.
Yeah.
Commanders Eagles, Eagles favored by 4 points, over under 39. That's really low. Jason.
Well, what did you say the over-under was?
39.
39.
Eagles minus four.
I guess it is low. Commanders, are they still starting Josh Johnson, Aaron? Is he getting another
this
one too? It's low. The Eagles resting their whole roster, I think, right? Like
pretty much,
Nobody's sounds playing. Like it. I don't know. This just feels like one of those games where the Eagles are like kind of conceding. We don't really care about getting the second and third seed. The Commanders, you know, there's still some pride element for them. They still got some of their big players in. I'm feeling the Commanders plus four.
Aaron.
Agree. I mean, Washington's going to try to win this game. Dan Quinn's going to want to go out on a high note. Eagles, everyone's out. Hurts ain't playing. Saquon's not playing. Goddard's not playing. Their whole D-line looks like they're not playing. Unless, Josh Johnson has a terrible game, then I think Commanders probably win outright. But I'll take the Commanders plus four.
Yeah, it's tough because even, you know, it's a banged up team that still went to the NFC Championship last year. But, dude, they've been dead for like months already. They haven't really been in a close, meaningful game since they lost to the Broncos in overtime, 27-26. Everything else, they've been blown out. But fuck it. Why not? Plus four. Next game is Cardinals Rams favored by seven in SoFi. Jason.
Yeah, I think the Rams really want to get things going here, going into the playoffs. I mean, there'll be, you know, you're looking at seeding on the line, but they're going to know going into this game kind of what they can do. So I guess this is a game that I would not – it's hard for me to make a pick right now because I think depending on the outcome of that Seahawks-Niners game, maybe some start-sit decisions kind of coming out of that. I mean, I haven't heard much about the Rams' plans, but that'd be the scary thing that it comes into, but I still just don't love anything about the Cardinals right now, and the Rams are still a solid team. You know, if you're picking right now, it's Rams minus -7, but it's a game that I look at right before pregame to really see, like, what are the Rams doing and what are they playing for?
I still think Rams are still playing for something, especially for a potential MVP for Stafford. I think he has to play, at least have, like, a really solid first half before they sit everybody out. I think they're at least playing one half here. Cardinals have not done much on offense in the past, what, month and a half now, since they were competitive in the first half of the season. I'll still take the Rams on the 7. Aaron?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Rome. I mean, Rams could be potentially going for the 5 seed if the 49ers lose, which would be great for them because that means you're going to Carolina or Tampa Bay, and you don't have to worry about traveling to Philadelphia, which could be the first round matchup of that wild card. Crazy. Maybe the two best teams in that NFC meeting in the wild card round. Yeah, I mean, the Rams have looked bad these last 2 weeks. I don't think they want to continue this way they're going. I believe from what I've heard from McVay, they are practicing all their starters, so they're ready to go. I think, you know, Jason said it, Arizona's looked terrible. I mean, they just got blown out a couple weeks here in a row. I like the Rams here minus -7. Rams need to get in the win column, something to feel good about going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like a tune-up game more than anything, and potential MVP. Chargers, Broncos for the last afternoon game of the season. Broncos favored by 13.5. Why?
Chargers not playing the starters.
I just been like checked out from all the news this past week.
Just a lot. Just a lot going on. And when we're talking about seeding and stuff like that, because you're pretty much, you know, we're locked into the overall is the AFC is basically it's just them. Is it them versus Buffalo, Aaron? Versus is it 5, 6, 7? That's kind of just what they're playing for right now between those three teams. I don't know this. I can't remember the scenarios.
Yeah. I mean the Chargers basically are conceding going to the 7th seed here. It sounds like,
wow,
which would mean they'd be going to the Patriots because I think the Chargers could essentially get the 5, but that would have to result in a lot of things happening. They'd have to win, and the Texans would have to lose. So, there's from what I gather from them, there's no point in playing against a Broncos team that must win to get the 1 seed, and getting guys hurt and banged up, going fresh in the wild card matchup.
All right, whoever wants to go first in this one,
13.5 is just a lot of points to me for a Broncos team that they play a lot of close games. I guess, again, what's the stakes going to be going into? Denver, New England playing at the same time at 125, so you're going to be deciding the 1 seed then. I don't know why. I'm just not feeling the Broncos blow them out in this game with the 13.5 points. I'll take the Chargers plus 13.5.
Nice. Aaron?
I'm going to go with the opposite. I mean, Trey Lance is starting. I don't know who else is going to be starting there for the Chargers. The Broncos desperately want the bye to make sure the playoffs go through the mile high there. Typically, when the playoffs have gone through there, this is a team that's gotten to the Super Bowl as an organization as a whole. Broncos are just going to come out. I think the defense, which has struggled here these last couple of weeks, are going to feast on Trey Lance and the Chargers. I like the Broncos here, minus 13.5.
Feast. Trey Lance, huh? Gets a big opportunity. It's kind of hard to decide like what they're going to sit for like their O-line because aren't they already like in their second, third strings on that one? So
Might
have left.
Squad guys coming up. I don't know.
That's pretty crazy. I know some of the running backs are injured, and Puka's been in the news a lot.
Puka doesn't play for them.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's also in the news.
But he's been in the news a lot. Yeah.
He's been in the news a lot. It's a factual statement.
And his brother stealing. That was weird. I'll go with the Chargers plus 13.5. Why not? All right. Final game of the regular season here. It's Ravens Steelers for the division and the number 4 seed. Ravens here by 3.5, 41 over under. Jason, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, the stakes in this matchup, we're talking the division, we're talking playoffs, and we're potentially talking coaching jobs on the line. You know, a potentially loser leaves town matchup here. The old, if we're doing the old wrestling booking right now, we're putting this in the main event. This is WrestleMania, and loser is gone between, you know, Tomlin and Harbaugh. Tomlin probably, I still think, you know, more at, because this was kind of everything, all eggs in this basket on this season right now with Rodgers and everything there. I think Metcalf being out, because Metcalf's still out for this game, right, Aaron? And
yeah,
so I just think that is a big blow for them. And then when you looked at the Ravens this last week, you know, the Derrick Henry, you know, where they can get from a running game standpoint and finally getting something going, you know, 3.5 is an interesting line for that, which I don't particularly love, but I do think the Ravens win this game, and I think they will cover as well.
Wow. Aaron?
Agree. I mean, a 3.5, I think they're just begging you to take the Steelers in that hook. I think the Ravens will cover that. I think the safe play is Ravens' money line. But, yeah, I mean, to Jason's point, no DK. Darnell Washington's out with a broken arm. Where are they going to generate points? I know the Ravens aren't great offensively, but they only scored 6 points last week against Cleveland. They'll probably score a little bit more this week. But if you go back and watch the tape of the first game, DK had a huge game against Baltimore. Came out first play, Rodgers hit him for a 40-yard pass. That element's gone. I mean, Gainwell's going to have to step up and have a big game. But Lamar looks like he's back. He's been practicing. Ravens just have all the mojo. They feel like they're the heavyweight champ right now coming in this fight, and the Ravens are really limping in. TJ Watt maybe back, maybe not. I don't think it matters. I think Derrick Henry has a big game, and the Ravens send the Steelers home.
I'm taking my Steelers 13.5. I like it. Give me points. Give me the hook. I think the running back will have a big game. We'll see how Derrick Henry does. Last week was his first game of getting like a full workload all season long. They've been kind of kept him in the barn shed, and I'm not buying too much in Lamar coming back. He looked slow earlier in the season. It's just a banged up year. We'll see if it's that running quarterback, if this is the beginning of the end for Lamar, or if it's just a bad year injury wise. He's gonna be rusty. Aaron Rodgers, it sounds like he's gonna retire. A slight lean on coming back. We'll see how it goes, but I like the Steelers going out on top. I don't feel great. I don't feel great.
It'll be a big game. Yeah, Rodgers. I think we all assumed he was retiring, but his press conference kind of thinking like, you know, well, it was a 1-year deal. There was, you know, things about like 1 or more 2 years that he kind of said in there too. So I don't know if he's really made up his mind. So, you know, this game could go a long way as far as like, you know, if they win and they're in and Tomlin's still there and they could run this thing back again, if they feel confident, that may play a big factor in him not retiring. It could be a factor in this game too.
If they're in the playoffs, I like their chances on any given Sunday for some upset wins here. So I don't feel the same way about the Ravens. So I'm going to go with my Steelers.
I mean, look, I think if the Steelers get in, they get DK back, they get a home game. Obviously, the Ravens win too, they get a home game. I mean, it looks like the first round matchup for either one of these teams, if they win, is going to be the Houston Texans, which defensively going against those guys will be tough. But I mean, yeah, I mean, right now it's just hard to like the Steelers here. There's nothing that signifies they're going to win this game outside of maybe like the Ravens do what the Lions did on Christmas Day and commit like 5 turnovers. That's the only way the Steelers, I think, win here. They got to get 3 to 4 turnovers, a special teams like kick return or block or something has to happen for Pittsburgh to generate enough to win this game. Hey, maybe Derrick Henry does what he's been doing in these big games, fumbles it away, and that flips the tide. But I love the Ravens this weekend.
Nice. All right. Looks like we were the same picks on most of them, except for the games that I faded. So that's it. We'll see how it goes. Any other fun plans for the weekend? Jason, you got to head out to your Holiday Bowl right now, right?
Going to the Holiday Bowl. Yep. SMU, Arizona, later this afternoon.
What action you got on that game, Jason? I know you had some action last year. You got screwed backdoor. What do you got?
Man. I guess we're close to game time right now. What's the line looking like there? I honestly, Aaron hadn't looked at the line.
It was a pick 'em and over under 52. Let me see where it's at right now. I do like a particular play here if you want to fade, because according to Rome, people are getting rich off of fading me here these last 2 weeks. So up to you if you want to fade it or not, but Let me see what the line is real quick here. What time's that game kick off?
5 o'clock.
Okay, 5 o'clock.
Head down here a little bit. We get the good full tailgate. You know, gates open at 12 all the way up until kickoff.
Nice, nice. All right, let's see. So we got the Holiday Bowl.
SMU minus 1.5?
Yeah, I got SMU minus 1.5 over under 51.5. Hmm. I like the over 51.5.
I don't disagree with that. There's been some good Holiday Bowl shootouts as of some recent memory. I don't know. SMU, still a good team. You think about where they're at a year ago, playoff team, a lot of those guys. I like SMU in this game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a pick 'em. So, I mean, the money's coming in on SMU. I think it's – I honestly will say I think it's that Texas money because Texas Tech – went from a 2.5-point underdog to a 1.5-point favorite. So that booster money in Texas is real. They show out for their team. So be careful about taking those Texas teams right now in these bowl games.
I don't know. I kind of like Arizona.
Could be. I was trying to think why I had that layer in last year. Because last year we did lines in all the bowl games last year, didn't we?
I don't know if we did all of them, but we did selective games, right?
Okay. Yeah, Aaron still picked some games last year. This year... he dropped
the funny thing is all the games that I've not picked that are college ones, I am undefeated. So that's why I will give you the over 51.5. That's the funny thing. I had Michigan, I had Texas minus 4.5. I had the over in Arizona State, Duke 49. So those are all winners. So that's, I like the over 51.5.
Let's do a recap before we let Jason go here. College football round 2 takes. Aaron, you had the game over 40.5.
That was a loss.
It was a loss, but you did have the lean Miami plus 9.5.
Uh-huh.
Oregon, Texas Tech, Oregon money line.
Got that.
So you got that one. Alabama and Indiana, you had Alabama plus 17.
It's plus 7, but even 17 couldn't even fucking get it. It didn't matter. You could have had them plus, you had to have them plus 36 to get that win.
Just like in Mari, the paternity test determined that was a lie.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss and Georgia. Georgia by 2 touchdowns is what I had in quotation marks.
Yeah, I did like Georgia. That quarterback, man, stepped up fourth quarter, took it away from him. Didn't see that one coming.
I didn't see Ole Miss, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised. Georgia was due. It doesn't look like Georgia likes the Sugar Bowl, though. Back-to-back losses over there. So, cool. That'll do it for... the final week of Lines with the Guys. We'll recap the final tally of the record against the spread after this week and reveal that. And we'll do a recap after the week too. Stay safe. Have fun at the Holiday Bowl. Have a couple of Michelob Ultras for me, Jason. Do some shots in the parking lot with somebody. Pick a random tailgate. Record it. Tag the podcast on socials.
I don't know about randoms. We do some traditional shots that we have with the group that goes on there. So I'll have my one shot of peppermint schnapps that one of the other guys I go with that brings every year. So we'll definitely have that one.
Oh man, I don't think I could do that. That's
it is an old man who brings the peppermint schnapps, obviously, yeah. And so that's
the only people I know who drink schnapps are like they're like. Above 70 or like they're like alcoholics for sure.
Not above 70, not an alcoholic, but this is just a tradition since we are 19 years now, 20 years in the making. I've been going to this game, so every year
it's kinda cool
doing the peppermint, do the shot of peppermint schnapps before we go in. So generally I'll have a shot of something else. We got a couple things on deck. The drink of choice, I'll say, the last couple years has been the Gentleman Jack, you know, Little Gentleman Jack drink. But I definitely have all the Michelob Ultras on tap for you, too, as we do some of the festivities.
Nice. Sounds good, man. Well, have fun.
Thanks.
Be safe. We'll catch you guys after the weekend. That'll do it for us.